Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Glad that y'all are here this morning. And if you're a guest with us today, we're certainly glad that you are here and you've taken time to come explore who Jesus is and maybe looking for a new family of faith or a church home, however you want to say that. Just glad that you're here. And if you're joining us online, thanks for just tuning in and taking time to log in and be here with us. Whether you're online or whether here, the Spirit of the Lord is with us, and that's what I am most excited about, and the fact that He is going to do something great in your life and in mine today. We just got to give Him our attention and give Him our focus. Today, we're going to talk about how to tackle or how to address the ifs in your life. All those if statements, all those if questions. And probably all of us have had them, maybe even today, what if, or if we do this, then that. We're going to talk about those. But as we do that, I want to pray for us. If you're normally here on Sunday, not going to embarrass or call Dallas out, but he's having a little vocal trouble this morning and asked for his throat.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, I didn't think you were a smoker, but it certainly sounds like you have been for 30 years.
It sounds like it today.
Yeah, it does. So we're going to pray for his voice and just really encourage you to you can stretch out a hand if you want to, whatever, towards Dallas, or just keep his name and his thought in your thoughts. And let's just pray for him as I pray for all of us. Lord God, I am Lord, coming to you today, Lord, as you are the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords over our lives and all, everything and all of creation. Really, whether anybody recognizes you as that or not, you are, Lord. So I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful that we get to come to you today and just as a family, Lord, as your children, and we just get to just present ourselves to you. Lord, we get to be who you've created us to be. No pretense, Lord, no falsehoods about us. Lord, we just want to worship you and we want to hear from you. And so, Lord, I pray that you and your Holy Spirit, Lord, would be ever present. Lord, I pray for Dallas this morning and his, I've already prayed once, Lord, for his vocal cords, his larynx, his throat. Lord, his lungs, all that go on inside of him, Lord, he's here to give you praise. He's here to lead us into your presence, Lord, to help remove that curtain, to push back the veil, Lord, to usher us into your presence that's already here. Lord, give him healing, give him strength. Lord, this whole team behind me and back in the sound booth, Lord, just to bring your joy into this room. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Let's just, can we just pray that? I know this is our third, maybe fourth week, I think third week to sing this song, to give praise to God. But really for me, it has been about just recognizing the power of Jesus Christ. Just pray that chorus one time through and just make it your prayer. Make it your belief. Make it your faith.
Your name is power.
Jesus, it is.
Your name is healing.
It is.
Your name is love.
It's not about us. It's about Jesus.
Break every stronghold.
Please.
Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Lord God, I just may sound really hokey and silly to just capture these words and turn them into a prayer, take a song and make it a proclamation, but Lord, it's so true. Lord, throughout all of history, throughout all of creation, Lord, this is what we've done. Lord, we want to proclaim today in our lives, Lord, that you are the King. Lord, that your name, the name of Jesus Christ, has power. And I know we've said it, that the gates of hell shall not prevail when we speak the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, boy, that's true in our lives today. Lord, I know three, four situations just in this room today, Lord, where healing has taken place. Lord, for concussions and over cancer. Lord, where relationships have been mended. And Lord, where finances have been restored. All because of the power of prayer. Well, those are powerful testimonies. Lord, just because we spoke the name of Jesus Christ into what were seemingly hopeless situations, doesn't mean they still weren't difficult or hard and there weren't challenges and perseverance had to be had and patience had to be mustered up into these lives of these families. But Lord, still, you prevail because of the power of your holy name, because you are a living God. You're not one that is dead. You are here with us and you care about us. And so, Lord, I just pray over every family right now, Lord, over every individual in my life and in every life here and online watching, either live today or if they hear this message 10 years from now, your word still is proclaimed and alive, Lord, that you will prevail in our lives, Lord, that miracles will happen, Lord, and that transformations will take place. Lord, I pray today, even Lord, I'm going to combine our finances into this prayer, Lord. As we give today, Lord, I expect miracles to happen and take place. Lord, as we trust in you for our physical strength, Lord, as we trust in you for our financial strength, Lord, as we trust in you for our salvation, Lord, as we trust in you in our relationships, Lord, miracles are going to happen. Miracles are going to happen. Even if it's just to sustain us, Lord, until you prevail, Lord, miracles are going to happen. For the marriage in the room that needs healing today because there is strain and struggle, I proclaim that you will prevail in that marriage, Lord, as they persevere to hold strong and to hold fast to their covenant with you, that you will prevail. Lord, I pray for a pregnancy in this room today, Lord, as you prepare this family for a new life into their family, Lord, that you are going to breathe new life into this family. Lord, thank you. We make our name in the powerful and matchless name of Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen and amen. Lord, just as you give today, there's going to be some giving links on the screen. You can do that, or there's baskets around the room. I've already prayed over your finances and just encourage you to give as God calls you to give. And as you do, I know the Lord's going to bless that for the church and for all those that are around us. And so we do have night of worship, and as Dallas and I just gave each other the non-communicative eye stare in his voice. Just pray that the Lord will sustain him through that today and tonight, and be a great time. No matter, I mean, not even being funny, it doesn't say make a great noise, it says make a joyful noise, and I know Dallas and the team will do that, even if Dallas, you know, I don't know, Dallas, it might be you need to have a, I'm not speaking this into your life, but you know, maybe you need to sing less, because man, they sounded great today, didn't they? They sounded great today. I don't think I've ever heard y'all sing before, actually. That was fantastic. That was fantastic. Last week I said there's probably not a more unusual story in the Gospels than the temptations and the testing of Christ, because it kind of seems weird, at least to me, is you have Jesus being baptized, where there's this proclamation from God that he is his son. There's this audible voice. There's all these things happening as he comes up out of the water. The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And then all of a sudden he's in the wilderness. And then right after that he goes into the synagogue and he really proclaims that he is the Messiah, and his ministry really, really, really begins. But you have that weird time in the middle where this temptation happens, and that's what I want to continue to talk about today. And I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 4, 1 through 12. I'll give you just a second to, if you need that phone number to get the notes for today, you can do that. Or you can scan the QR code on your phone if you can do it really fast in about 10 seconds, and then I'll change it. And so now Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of Man, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I want. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it shall be yours." And Jesus replied, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he brought him in Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will lift you up so that you do not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been stated, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And the devil said to him, look at this, I want to get back to these, the if statements, all right? If you are the Son of God. And then there's another one, if you worship before me. And then there's another one, if you are the Son of God. Over and over and over, all these if statements. So today, I want to talk about Jesus in the wild, in the wilderness, us in the wild, in our own wilderness, whatever it may be, and how you face down the ifs in your life. How long has it been since you heard the last if in your head, right? If you will do this, if you had only done this, if, all the ifs. How does the accuser, how do the distractions speak to you? What are the ifs in your own life? What are your areas of weakness? What are the areas of temptation that you have? We all have different ones, by the way. I have them, you have them, mine are different than yours. Some we have are similar. Some are louder at other times in our lives than they are at other times in our lives, whatever the different season we're in and whatever our different ages we are. And sometimes they don't ever stop. Sometimes they follow us all through life. Some of us have different issues than others. It might be hearing in your head, if only I was really loved by God. If only I were a better husband. If only I were a better mom. If only I were prettier. If only if I were healthier. If only I was fitter. If only I was better. If only I had more money. If only I were more educated. If only. Anybody with me? Only if. We do this to ourselves all the time. But here's the deal. I've told you, if you've been around any amount of time I've told you over and over and over and over again, because I'm really telling myself over and over and over again, Satan has no power over us or in us. He doesn't control the ifs or the thens, right? He has no power. The only power Satan has is that little yakety yak voice that he has to ask us those questions, to put those doubts in our mind, to say, well, if God really loved you, this wouldn't have happened to you. If you had been a better parent, this wouldn't have happened. If you really hadn't, who's in the room? Want to make sure I'm looking and okay. Right? If only you hadn't had sex with that person. If only you hadn't married that person. If only you would have had, right? If only you hadn't taken that drink. If only you hadn't swallowed that pill. If only, right? If only you hadn't lied. Boy, I'm just thinking all sorts of them in my own life now, right? If only you had done better. If only you would have made better choices. Gosh. I'd have six-pack abs, lots of hair, and I'd be a millionaire living on an island somewhere, right? If only. Right, if only. Actually, it wouldn't be that. We would have the Crystal Cathedral, and there'd be 20,000 people showing up on Sunday. If only I'd been a better preacher. If only, right? If only. If only I hadn't sold that stock before it went to $30 a share. Right? All of us, over and over and over again. But here's the deal. How many of y'all remember the mind monkeys? It's really only about the thoughts in our head. The ifs are only, the ifs are only all the doubts that we have and we can muster up constantly over and over and over again. Satan has no power to do only one thing, and that is to ask the question that can set our worlds on fire. Only if. Only if. Only if. But here's what I want you to hear, once again, is let's get back to them. The devil said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it shall be yours. And then he brought him in Jerusalem and said, if you are the Son of God again, throw yourself. Do this. Do this. Do this. See, Satan uses the ifs for a different purpose than God does, because God uses the ifs to really build us up. And Satan uses them, I'll talk about in a minute, to tear us down. See, God uses those words to build us up. And here's how, is that he shows us different ways to live our lives. If, right? How many of you, now I haven't taken CPR in a while, but how many of you are trained in CPR? How many of you gone through that training? What are the three things you're supposed to do to assess a person that you find unresponsive? Does anybody know? Oh, I heard it over here somewhere, the really quick one. Look, listen, and feel. Okay? I knew I was going to do this. I said, Matt, don't forget your Bible. I forgot my Bible, so here, I'm going to do this right here. No, I don't need it. Here's my Bible. How many of you have this Bible? Everybody raise your phones. You've got your Bible. You just got to open them up, right? And so, if this is your Bible, no, I got to have one. Show me. Can I have your Bible for just 2 seconds? Yeah, so if you have this Bible, really, now follow me till the end of the conversation or you're going to not like me. This really is just a book. It's just a book to the whole world. But it really is the living Word of God. And if it's just a book, for us to know that it's the living Word of God, you have to do a little bit like we do with CPR when we find an unresponsive book, right? We have to actually look at it. We have to listen to it. And now, be careful, you got to hear me all the way to the end. We have to feel it. Now, not feelings like emotions. Thanks. Not feelings like emotions, but to feel it like we're doing CPR. I mean, to look, listen, and feel, you got to get close, right? I mean, really close. I mean, you got to get, when they say feel, you got to put your hands on them to even see if you can feel a heartbeat, to see if you can feel their blood pulsing, to see if you can feel the rise and fall of their chest. And the other feel is, you got to get your face so close to their mouth, right? So close to their mouth that you can just feel just the whisper of a breath. See, the scripture is the same. You're going to hear the loudest things in your life, because when you're doing CPR, most of the time there's chaos going on around you. Somebody call 911, or there's a wreck, or there's sirens, or there's traffic, or there's people crying, or there's chaos all around you. But it's your job to look and to listen, to feel, to figure out if there's life. See, for the Holy Spirit to look, listen, and feel is to not listen to the loudness of Satan. Because I don't know about you, but for me, the ifs that Satan gives me are really sometimes louder than the ifs that God gives me. Because I can hear Satan, because I'm used to those, and I hear them all the time, if you had only, or if you would do this, or whatever it might be. But for God, he says in 2 Chronicles, I'm just going to pick a few, there's a whole bunch. if my people who are called by my name, right? You've heard the ifs from Satan, but have you heard the ifs from Jesus? If the people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So if, this is Matthew 7:11, if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him? See, they are there. You just have to find them. And when you pray and you seek the Lord, you have to listen. And you have to communicate with them. And you have to wait to hear a response over all the noise. And while Satan's talking in your ear, while the enemy's talking in your ear and trying to distract you and deceive you and question yourself, you've got to stay focused and you have to listen. You have to listen. It's no different. How many of you can pick out a song on the radio over the speakers in a restaurant while all the chatter is going on around you? Oh, so many of us can do that. I mean, you're better than Shazam, right? I mean, you can get it. Robin has a cousin named Jason, and we were playing pool one time. Yeah, preachers play pool, but I'm really terrible. I mean, I'm horrible at the game, but if you got 20 bucks, I'll be glad to go play with you. And some of you will get that joke when you get home. And every time a song would come on, he'd say, I mean, in two words or three or four beats, he could just name that song, whatever it was. And he said to me, you need to keep up. I'm like, I don't know what that is. He goes, because you don't listen. Now, he was kidding, and he was playing, and we were just talking about music. But when you're hearing from the Lord, but you don't know who that is, it's because you're not listening, and you're not keeping up. You're not looking. You're not listening. You're not feeling the Holy Spirit in your life. See, it's the ifs that God wants to use for you to build you up, not to tear you down. Because the ifs that Satan uses are the ifs that are going to tear you down all the time. How do you battle those? You battle those by knowing the voice of the Lord. You battle those by knowing that when you're struggling, you can count on him. You may have to wait upon him. You may have to struggle through it. You may have to persevere 40 days in the desert and then maybe a little longer. But as you do, he's going to reward you. His is going to come through for you. It may not look like you want it to. Just think, Jesus didn't eat and drink for 40 days. That's not exactly probably how he thought that was going to go, but that's the way it went. And God, he persevered and showed up in his life. If is a challenge to our identity. Listen to me. If is a challenge to who we are. And if causes us to submit to things that we're not. If challenges who we are and causes, I'm gonna change it, challenges who we are and causes us to submit to who we are not. Because the ifs that Satan gives us only pull us away from God. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He goes, I didn't give you a spirit of fear or timidity. But Satan says, yeah, he's gonna leave you. Where is he right now? Why are you going through what you're going through? Right? Why is this happening to you? Because if God loved you, then you shouldn't be going through this. If God loves you, you shouldn't be sick. If God loves you, your marriage should be better. If God loves you, you just fill in the blanks over and over and over again. See, that's what we do to ourselves. And listen to this. Dan Wilt, I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. Dan Wilt, an author and pastor and teacher, he says, every day we hear some version of that word dancing in our own heads, putting a question mark between us and our blessings as the beloved of God, often to get us inwardly deciding once again if God is good, if we are precious, if we matter, and if we will ever find joy in this life. See, what I want to say is, for the kingdom to come, if is required. Not the ifs that Satan is talking about, but the ifs that God gives us. Right? The ifs that God gives us. I'm going to paraphrase Mark 21 through 23. You can look it up. But Jesus says to a dad that has a sick son, he says, how long have you been like this? So I'm going to ask you, in our context, whatever you're thinking about yourself, about your life, about your relationships, about whatever it is, whatever your context, whatever your circumstances, how long have you been like this? How long have you been like this? And the man replied, he's been like this since birth, since childhood. And maybe we have carried these ifs all through our life. If this had, I can just say all sorts of things right now. If my parents had not divorced, if my dad had not been an abusive alcoholic, if my mom hadn't remarried an alcoholic, if I had not dropped out of school, I didn't really drop out, they asked me to leave. If I had gone to law school instead of gotten into law enforcement, if, and then God goes, and yeah, and if you hadn't done this, and if you hadn't done this, and if this hadn't put you in this circumstance, and if you hadn't been in this place, and if you hadn't been here, and if you hadn't been here, then you wouldn't be who you are today for me to use you the way you are today. If only. From childhood, he answered. And the dad said to Jesus, I love this. It really is my favorite faith story. There are so many, but really my favorite faith story, because the dad said to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have mercy on us. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. He didn't really say, let me go back and look at it just to make sure. Yeah, he didn't really say, help the boy. He said, help us. Help my family, help me, because this is a struggle for me too. This is not just his problem, this is all of our problem. And folks, if we would see sin as all of our problem, I'm just preaching now, amen. If we would see sin as all of our problem, then we would say, Lord, help us. Help this person over here and this person over here and this person over here. Not just me, but help us. And then Jesus says, I love this, here's the if. Jesus, and I know we see Jesus and he's got on the robe and he's got a shawl over his head and he's beautiful and he's glowing and everything. He's so soft-spoken, and most of y'all think he probably says, oh, if I can help you? No, I think Jesus is laughing in jest and can't believe what's going on here. He's like, oh my gosh, if I can help you? If, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know that I love you more than you love yourself? Do you know I love this boy who's sick more than you love him? Your son, I love him more. What do you mean if? All things are possible to those who believe. If you will only believe. And you know what the dad says? This is where my favorite faith story comes in. He says, I do believe. I know we don't have context. We don't have picture books for the Bible. Nobody was standing there with a phone recording this. But I bet he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. If, Jesus says, if, I think that's the most honest statement any of us can make. I believe, but boy, there's some areas in my life and there's some things that I need some help with. There's some areas in my life that I don't have enough belief. I don't have enough faith. There's some areas of my life that I need you to take this, and I need you to infiltrate this area of my life. I need to see you. I need you to shine a light here. I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. And some of us are like, I believe, and then some of us are also like, oh, I like this. I don't believe. Yeah, we do this. Help my unbelief. And immediately, what happens? The boy's healed. There's more faith in the family. We don't know what happens after that, other than the fact that it says that the boy, here's the part I don't like about the faith story, the boy was so calm and so peaceful at that point, it looked like he was dead. Why do I not like that? because that means that I'm probably going to look differently once I'm touched by Jesus in the way I ask him to touch me, and then I'm going to have to change, and maybe y'all don't like the way I look either after I change. Ooh, doesn't that hurt? How offensive is that? I really want so-and-so to change. I know some people that need Jesus. Amen? Some of y'all need Jesus. Some of you are great friends of mine. You need Jesus. But then when you get him, I go, gosh, you're no fun anymore. I know things are better and you're spending more time with your family and you're spending more time at home, but you really need to be with me and we need to go. No. See, that's what happens is when we change, we don't often like the way we're changing, but and yet sometimes we're scared of the change that comes because the ifs that never come true, we like to think about those more than the ifs that will come true when we follow Jesus. Because see, that's what happens. That's where the dreams and the change comes. Imagine yourself using the word if for the kingdom purposes of God. If I really would act this way, if I really would pray, if I really would study scripture, if I really would look, listen, and feel the Holy Spirit, if I really would, then God's going to do things that he could have done a long time ago if I would have done them sooner. There's mountains that will be moved if I will do these things, but I'm going to have to change, and I'm going to have to act different, and I'm going to have to be different. And so here's what I want to say. Here's where I want to for you to end for today and for you to take into your life going forward is when Satan, right, when Satan says, well, if God really loved you, you need to stop and interrupt the thought and say, then God really does love me. It's not about the circumstance. Man, I'm getting fired up. When Satan says, if God loves you, you just interrupt him and look at him and say, then he loves me. And that's it. This circumstance is not about that love. This that's happening to me is not about how much God loves me or doesn't love me. This that's the circumstance in my life is probably because there's just some things that I can't control and I'm going to have to deal with. Good, bad, and indifferent. But it doesn't shape me. It doesn't change me. It doesn't make me who God has called me to be. God brings that power to me. Not somebody else. And I take that power back from somebody else and I give it back to God. That which I have relinquished to other people's feelings and other people's actions and other people's hurts and other people's failed promises, I take that back and I say, Lord, it is your power. You use it to shape me. Your if I were only loved turns into I am loved. That's it. I am. Jesus, when they said, "What if you can do these things?" When Satan said, if you are the Son of God, if, he said, I am that I am. How many of you use the phrase, it is what it is? So I had a friend that was talking to me years ago. Had a daughter, just terrible things happened. She made terrible choices. I mean, just, let me rephrase all that. She made really terrible choices and then terrible things happened. It was all her. She made the choices. And in while this dad is praying, this friend is praying, and really was turning her, relinquishing control and power to God, saying, Lord, I know that you can do whatever you're going to do. And he said, Lord, it just is what it is, and so I'm giving it to you. And he said, the only time, and this doesn't happen to hardly any of us, by the way, so don't feel badly if you've never heard an audible voice from God. I haven't. But as he said, Lord, it is what it is, and I give it over to you. And he says, and I am who I am. Boy, see, that's the if-then statement we need. If this is happening in my life, we need to hear God saying, it doesn't change to the fact that who I am. If, the only if then that matters is if God loves me, then God loves me. And if I will just follow him, then he will be my God. And I will be his child. And he will care for me. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean it's going to be great. But it does mean that he's in control. So for you today and me today, what is the if that's just swirling in your head? What is the doubt? What is the hurt? What is the anxiety right now that you need to turn around and just say to Satan, I'm not listening to you. This is not about you. You have no control over me. You have no part in my life. You can't, number one, you can't even create a storm, much less calm a storm. You can't do anything to me except just talk in my ear, and I'm not listening. How to battle the ifs in your life is to hear the statement, if God loves you, then God loves you. And if, here's the other one, the last one. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Lord, I pray over every heart in this room today. Younger, teenager, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, retirees, all of us. Lord, we all have these ifs in our life. And frankly, I am sick and tired of them, wrecking our lives, wreaking havoc in our relationships, creating anxiety on top of anxiety. Lord, we're anxious because we know we're anxious. Lord, we need your power. Lord, that's why I want us to just keep singing. We speak the name of Jesus into these places in our lives. And by the power of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, I pronounce just defeat over the enemy in all of our lives, that those voices would go away, those doubts would go away, and all we hear is the precious, wonderful voice of God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us as who? The Comforter. The Counselor. The one that leads us and guides us. Let it be so in the powerful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And if you'll truly, it still may be a struggle, but if you'll truly accept that word for your life, if you'll accept that direction, if you'll accept that counsel from Jesus himself, then tell him, Lord, I accept that. Lord, teach me how to use it. Teach me how to wield it as a sword. Sword of the Spirit. And to that prayer you'll say, Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.